Morning, everyone. Good to see you. And if you're back after illness, especially good to see you. Good to have you back with us. If you're on Zoom, welcome. Welcome to you, everybody watching online. Just one notice from me. We have a prayer meeting tonight, and there's a really powerful testimony that's going to be shared by Sally Chiverton this evening, which I'd really like as many of you to hear as possible. We're going to be looking at the power of God's deliverance from sort of past hurts and how that can set us free and liberate us to enjoy all of God's presence and goodness, peace and joy. So do come and pray tonight. Spurgeon used to say that prayer is the engine room or the boiler room of the church. And if we want to see God moving powerfully in signs and wonders and people come into faith, then it begins on our knees in prayer. So please do make the prayer meeting a priority this evening from 6 till 7 in the room next door. Come along, we'll begin with some worship, some singing, and then we'll hear this testimony and move into some prayers. So come and be part of what God is doing powerfully. Come and get on your knees, join us in the boiler room tonight that we might see God's power released in this church and in this community. Amen?
Amen.
Good, you've heard me. I'm going to hand over to Steve. He's going to lead us in worship.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Morning. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we had Easter, and now we've got the Easter weather. Amen. Yes. So, but we are reprising what we did on that Easter morning, which is we're going to sing the greatest day in history, Happy Day. But then we're going to sing the new one that we did, which is called Praise, which has a call and response, and went down very well. So let's just worship our God together. Let's stand together, if you're able.
Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Sin away, and oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace. Every pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, you wash my sin away. Jesus, and oh, happy day, my sin away. And oh, happy day, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. And oh, happy day, happy day, you wash my sin away. And oh, forever I am changed. Forever I am changed.
We praise you because you're alive, you're risen.
Amen.
You're reigning at the right hand of the Father, you're sovereign, you're coming again. And Lord, how can we keep it inside? Lord, when you've given us your spirit, we are bursting with joy and thanksgiving and praise for who you are and all that you've done. Lord, we delight to be in your presence. There's no place we'd rather be, Lord, than in your presence this morning. Lord, we delight to be here. And we ask that, Holy Spirit, you would come and meet with us as we seek to meet with you. Draw near to us, Lord, as we draw near to you. Come, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise you, Jesus.
Worship is majesty. Majesty, kingdom authority flows from his throne unto his own, his anthem raised. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Like the heights of Zaphon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there. Pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them. Like ships of Tarshish, shattered by an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God, God makes her secure forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that we can bring our praises before you, because you are an amazing God that we want to serve and worship and adore. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hand over to Mark.
Well, morning, everyone.
Morning.
Oh, the microphone off. That doesn't help, does it? Are we on? Excellent. Excellent. So, really great to be here again. Really great to see so many smiling faces. It's all good. So, in our children's church today, we're continuing our series on In Between Times. Now, that's the time in between Jesus' resurrection, and the disciples receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And last week, Alison talked about how we new life can come from disappointment, didn't she? I loved the image of the centre of the sunflower, didn't you? And then when you pan out, you realise that's where all the seeds are. That's where the new life comes from. It was amazing. I think she did a really good job. We heard the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus as well, didn't we? How Jesus revealed himself to them in their sadness and in their grief. And today we're thinking about the other disciples. How Jesus appeared to them. You see, at this point, only the Marys and the two disciples on the road to Emmaus had seen Jesus, hadn't they? The other disciples hadn't seen them. Even though they'd heard of the stories from Mary and from the two, they didn't really know what was going on. They didn't really understand. Did they really believe that Jesus had risen? They locked themselves in an upper room, hidden away, because they were scared of what the authorities might do to them. And then, all of a sudden, in that locked room, all the doors were locked, the windows were shuttered, no one could get in, but Jesus appeared in the middle. Amazing, right? The disciples were overjoyed. They realized that Jesus was alive. Everything that he'd been teaching them for the past 3 years was true. They realized that Jesus had risen from the dead. They saw Jesus face to face. Their fears and doubts were replaced with the assurance that Jesus had really risen from the dead. And they really could have eternal life in heaven. Their timidness was replaced with boldness, because Jesus came so that all the wrongdoings of the world could be forgiven. All their wrongdoings, all my wrongdoings, all your wrongdoings, because we all do things wrong, don't we? The disciples understood everything that Jesus had been teaching now. They had the assurance that Jesus was risen from the dead, and that if you believed in him, your sins would be forgiven. They had this assurance because they'd met him in the flesh, as it were. But we can also have that assurance. You see, if I can turn my page, our lives are all a bit messed up, aren't they? And the disciples' lives were a bit messed up. So this jug here represents our lives. Our lives, just like the disciples' lives, can be full of disappointment. And every disappointment adds a little bit of mess to our lives. And we all sin, don't we? And every time we sin, it adds a little bit more mess to our lives. And the disciples sinned. Everyone sins. You remember Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane? He cut off the soldier's ear, didn't he? He denied Jesus 3 times. So we all sin. Even the disciples sin. And every time we sin, come on, get a bit more colourful, our lives get a little bit more messy. Don't they? But Jesus came to clear up that mess. Jesus came and died on the cross, so that if we come to him on the cross and we invite him into our lives, then he will forgive us for all of our sin, and our lives will be cleansed. All that mess in our lives will be taken away, and we will be pure and holy as we're called to be. We receive the assurance that Jesus has forgiven us and he's accepted us into God's family. We receive a joy and peace in our lives that assures us that we have been saved. And if we do mess up in the future, we don't need to worry about it. Not that we should try. We should try not to, but we will, because we're all humans. We'll all mess up in the future. We'll all have doubts in the future. We just need to come back to the cross and we'll receive that assurance that Jesus loves us, that he has forgiven us, and our eternal destiny is assured. Why? Because God loves you. God loves you more than you could ever know or imagine. More than you could ever understand. So maybe today is the day that you invite Jesus into your life and you receive that assurance of your eternal destiny. Or maybe you're struggling with life at the moment. Maybe you're struggling with sin or with doubts. Maybe today's the day when you come back to the cross and Jesus reassures you of how much he loves you and how much he wants you in his family. So there'll be an opportunity, I'm sure, later for us to pray with you. But yeah, think about it. Is today that day? Is your heart beating faster than it normally would? Are you feeling a little bit sweaty, a bit nervous? Maybe today's the day. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. We always look forward to that, don't we? To see what he's going to bring us. But that's fantastic. Thank you, Mark. It's now time for the young people, if we have any in here today, to go off to their groups. And for the offering, please. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for each one of our young people, and we thank you for those that serve in helping to teach them and to guide them. Lord, we pray today that you would just continue their journey into faith. Lord, we ask that you would just open eyes, ears, and hearts to your word. Lord, we pray for the offering that's been given. Lord, we pray that you would just use it to expand the knowledge of your kingdom here in this area, Lord, and further afield, Lord, as we know we give to missionary gifts as well. So, Lord, we just ask that you would just use the money wisely, give us good stewardship of that. And, Lord, help us to be cheerful givers. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to worship our God.
Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ seems to hide his face. I rest. rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong. Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may our name in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone. For lest I stand before the side. The one who reigns forever, He is is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises.
Just worship our God. Let's be seated. So, Martin is continuing on in our series, and today's reading is from Acts chapter 5. Thank you, Carol. I like it when she makes it bigger so I can read it. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in a public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of all the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there, so they went back and reported. "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honoured by all the people, stood in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Let's pray for Martin as he comes to speak. Lord, we thank you for that word. We thank you that through all that adversity, they just continue teaching. And so, Lord, as we come to hear your word now, Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to respond, we ask. And we ask that you would just bless Martin and just fill him with your spirit right now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Steve. I'll share this now. Feel right earlier, but... As Alan was reading Acts 12 about the next miraculous escape from prison that follows this one, I sensed that the Lord was saying to some of you that it's not only physical prisons that he releases people from, but he releases us from addictions as well. Patterns of sin, addictions, habits. The Lord wants to set us free, doesn't he? Not just from physical prisons, but from addictions, alcohol, all kinds of patterns of sin that we're into. The Lord loves to release us and set us free. He's the God of liberty, isn't he? And as Mark shared that great illustration with the cross, where the cross just dipped down into the mess and mire and cleaned it up, again, I just felt the Lord was saying that the cross releases. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And we're freed from sin and death and addiction through the power of the cross and the resurrection. And so I feel there's a word for some of you here today that to receive prayer at the end of the service, to be set free from addiction, from patterns of sin, from habits that you're locked into that you can't seem to break free of. So I just share that for you to respond at the end of the service. But I want to look today at rejoicing through persecution. China is in the news very much at the moment, isn't it? Hope none of you have got taken in by online shopping sites like Temu, where it's rumoured that the Chinese are harvesting data. Also spying,
tactics, using honey traps to lure in British intelligence workers to gain information about British government and secrets. So that's the bad news, but something we hear virtually nothing about is the growth, the miraculous growth of the church in China today, which is extraordinary to say the least. According to a theology research professor at Boston University, the Christian community in China in the last 40 years has grown from 1 million to 100 million believers. Christianity has grown faster in China than anywhere else in the world. I don't know if you're aware, but a Bible Society report recently reported that the Chinese church is now the fastest growing church in the UK. It's outgrowing the African church in London and any other churches in London, where most of the growth is being seen. 28% growth in the last 2 years. One example of a church in Manchester called the Manchester Alliance Centre, in the last 2 years has grown from 200 to 1,500 Chinese believers. God is doing something amazing amongst Chinese believers in China and globally. So don't just listen to the bad news, listen to what God is doing sovereignly behind the news. But of course, persecution for our Chinese brothers and sisters is nonetheless real. In December 2023, the Chinese authorities tried to prevent Christmas celebrations inside and outside churches. Some house churches' leaders were arrested and detained to prevent them from leading Christmas activities. The latest tactic, of course, of the Chinese government is to ask churches to register. And of course, those churches that register are then monitored to see whether their teaching stays within communist political principles. Those that don't and are too radical because they preach the gospel can be shut down and at least disrupted. But one underground church leader recently shared this on his Instagram. I quote, "Our faith is strong. If we get shut down, we will pick up our things and worship somewhere else," unquote. Isn't that wonderful? So attempts to domesticate the Chinese church at home in China and attempts to limit the growth of the Chinese church globally are failing dramatically. God is building his church despite the opposition. Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And Paul said in Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be? Call and response again, you see. I was drawn to China, the rapid, miraculous growth of the church in China. When I thought about Acts chapter 5, I immediately, as you would, drew a parallel with the Chinese church. You can't help but see it. Miraculous growth, and yes, you've guessed it, opposition and persecution. They all come as part of the package. So if we want growth, we're going to have to accept there will be opposition to the gospel, right? You can't have one without the other. What are the parallels then between the Chinese church and Acts 5? Well, you heard last week from Tony about the miraculous growth of the church through signs and wonders. And as a result, we learn in Acts 5:14 this. More and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Faithful preaching, signs and wonders, people were drawn to that kind of supernatural activity, right? But persecution was also a reality. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. And not only that, verse 40, they called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. What's their response to all of this opposition and suffering and persecution? Verse 41. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. If that doesn't humble you, nothing will. If that doesn't challenge you, nothing will. And as a result of their courage in carrying on proclaiming the gospel in the face of threats not to, look at what happened to the church in Acts 6. So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests, spot the irony, became obedient to the faith. The priests became Christians. What can we learn from the early church about proclaiming the good news in the face of opposition and persecution? 2 points. First, there will be opposition to the gospel and therefore suffering. The church in Acts 5, though, experienced a miraculous intervention in the face of suffering. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Can I recommend a book? I don't do this too often, so, you know, hopefully you'll take in what I'm saying. The Heavenly Man. Some of you read this years ago. It's been out a few years, since 2003, I think. This is an incredible book. Can I recommend that you read this? The Heavenly Man by Brother Yun, put together by Paul Hathaway. This will blow your mind and increase your faith. I guarantee it. It is incredible. It's all about a Chinese Christian called Yun, who was from a poor province in China called Henan province, and God used him mightily to preach the gospel despite horrific suffering and opposition. In 1997, Brother Yun was a Chinese house church leader and experienced a miraculous release from a second term in prison. Previously, he'd been in prison for 4 years before for proclaiming the good news of Jesus and had suffered torture and beatings. The miraculous release from prison of Brother Yun was witnessed by two fellow Christians who recalled their testimony in this book. Read it for yourself. Can I read to you one witness account from Brother Zhu, another Chinese Christian in jail at the time with Brother Yun? And this is what he says. Quote, after Brother Yun tried to escape, that's the previous time, by jumping out of the window, he broke his legs. They then beat him severely in the mud, smashing his legs further so he wouldn't be able to walk. When I saw Yun's unconscious body being carried back to his cell, his whole face was covered in mud. They had beaten his head, so he lost all his hearing for a while. After we'd been transferred to the Xingzhou prison, I was given the job of carrying Yun to the bathroom in the prison interrogation room because he was crippled and in terrible pain. In this way, we were able to have brief moments of contact when we encouraged each other in the Lord and strengthened each other's faith. Even if we were unable to speak, just to look into each other's eyes gave us strength and fellowship. Yun and I go back a long way and have experienced much of God's grace together. I told Yun the Lord wanted him to escape. The Lord surely led me to tell him this. I felt God wanted Yun to escape, but that he wanted me to stay. Well, one morning, the Lord directly showed Yun it was time to escape. As he walked down the prison stairs towards the courtyard, another Christian brother was coming in. The security door was open for him at exactly the same time Yun walked out. That brother then ran to our cell and told everyone he had seen Yun walking out of the prison. The prisoners climbed up and looked out of the cell window into the courtyard. We watched as Yun walked out the front gate of the prison to freedom. This act of God's mercy and power greatly encouraged us. We once again saw that nothing is impossible for God, absolutely nothing. He holds all our lives in his hands, and not a thing will happen to one of God's children unless it is part of his plan and will for our lives. I believe one reason why God chose to release Yun in such a manner was because the prison authorities had mocked the Lord and Yun when they smashed his legs. They said, "We'd like to see you escape now." Well, the Lord is always up to meeting a challenge. Within a few minutes of Yun's escape, the guards discovered he was missing and a huge manhunt was launched. A thorough investigation was held by the authorities to find out how a crippled prisoner in maximum security solitary confinement could walk out of the prison and disappear. Interestingly, the investigation concluded that Yun had received no human help from any of the prisoners or guards during his escape. I testify that this is entirely true. It was all the sovereign hand of our Almighty God. Isn't that amazing? And the book is just full of suffering and miracles together. He doesn't hold back from any testimony, good or bad or ugly. Of course, God does not always promise that he will deliver his people from persecutions and imprisonments. Brother Yun, as you heard, still suffered horrible beatings and torture despite God's miraculous release from prison. And we know from the book of Acts that miracles come alongside suffering, don't we? A few months after the miraculous release of the apostles from prison in Acts 5, Stephen was stoned to death in Acts chapter 7. And 10 years later, a bit that Alan read in Acts 12, James, one of the 12 apostles, was executed. But the one thing God always does do is give strength to bear the suffering, even martyrdom, with patience, faithfulness, and joy. You remember in Acts 7, Stephen, as he was stoned to death, had the face of an angel as he saw Jesus standing in a vision from heaven. Again, this is humbling. Brother Yun described his first four-year term in prison in this way, quote, "I had experienced so much in those 4 years, but God had been faithful. I'd suffered some horrible tortures, but God had been faithful. I'd been dragged in front of judges and courts, but God had been faithful. I'd been hungry, thirsty, and had fainted from exhaustion. Through it all, God was always faithful and loving to me. He had never left me nor forsaken me." Amen. We'd be brave to say that we face anything like this level of persecution and opposition for preaching the gospel, wouldn't we? However, we need to be aware that we do need courage, increasingly so, to stand as witnesses to the gospel of Jesus. Stephen McAlpine, an Australian evangelist, has written a really helpful book called Being the Bad Guys. Christians in the West, including Australia, Europe, America, are increasingly seen as the bad guys. Why is that? Well, because there are caricatures, misrepresentations of what it means to be an evangelical Christian in our culture today, in case you hadn't noticed, right? So this is what he says happened to him on a plane in Australia. Quote, "Already the term evangelical is becoming a code word for right-wing warrior. I was headed home on an interstate flight recently, and the young man sitting next to me wanted to chat. As soon as he heard what I did for a living, he asked, 'You're not one of those evangelicals, are you?' What he means by that word and what I mean by it are two different things. But there is a widespread perception that to be an evangelical today aligns you with right-wing politics, a harsh social agenda, and an aggressive attitude towards migrants. But our hope is not in winning a culture war. Our hope is in the one who has defeated our true enemies, Satan, sin, and death, and who has given us his victory. We will waste a lot of emotional and actual energy if we don't cling to this truth," unquote. We can get caught up in politics if we want, but that's not where the focus is. Jesus transcends political agendas on the left and the right. I don't know if you've noticed that. He goes beyond all politics. Some of what Jesus says will be more acceptable to the left than the right, and some of what Jesus says and does will be more acceptable to the right than the left. But Jesus doesn't care. He says it because it's true, not because it's left or right. You see, we will be caricatured as Christians by our culture, right? They will misrepresent what we stand for. They will try to label us as right wing or whatever. The truth is, we are not defined by politics. We are defined by Jesus. We are Christians, right? So don't be afraid to proclaim Jesus and bear witness to Jesus. Don't be afraid to be labeled as narrow-minded, old-fashioned, bigoted, whatever. We don't seek to be those things. We speak the truth with love and gentleness and respect where we disagree. But nonetheless, we share Jesus, right? We don't allow being caricatured or labeled to deter us from speaking out the truth, right? You will be called lots of different things if you bear witness to Jesus. Goes with the territory. But who are you going to serve? Human beings, the media, the government, or are you going to serve God? It's ultimately it, isn't it? I think if being caricatured and misrepresented is the worst that it can get, bring it on, compared with people like Brother Yun. Okay? We need to be aware of this, though, don't we? There's an interesting article. I'm grateful for those that pass on Christianity magazine to me. I do read it, by the way. There was an interesting article in February on free speech in the UK. I don't know if you're aware, but we have free speech laws, and some of them are understood by the police and some of them are not. And I think although they seek to do good and to protect freedom to speak truth, there is a lot of confusion and blurred lines around the Free Speech Act currently. A number of false arrests have been made recently of street preachers. Now, whatever you think of street preachers, surely we want to preserve the right for people to proclaim the truth publicly, right? Otherwise, we're going to start shutting down dramas, mimes, worship, speaking, healing on the streets and everything else. If it's offensive or crosses a line, we're talking here about freedom, the right to speak and to witness to Jesus, right? Well, just in Christianity magazine, they highlight two preachers, Dale McAlpine from Cumbria, Scottish pastor Angus Cameron, have both received payouts of compensation after being wrongfully arrested while street preaching. So the police had to pay out for wrongfully arresting them. The Christian Institute, along with Christian Concern for Our Nation, are working on a street preacher's charter to foster better relations and understanding between police and Christians involved in street evangelism. So that's good news. But we need to be aware that freedom to speak and bear witness to Jesus are under attack. We need to be aware that that's happening. It is complicated. The law is not always clear. But that we should never feel that we have to be silenced in bearing witness to Jesus in public, ever. The early church weren't silenced. We should not be silenced. We need to ask the Holy Spirit for courage, power, and boldness to keep sharing the good news, whatever people think of us. You'll have people, and I've had them, who say, well, that's your opinion. Keep it to yourself. You know, or I'm into stamp collecting myself. But if that's your thing, fill your boots. You know, so people treat Christianity as a kind of hobby or personal individual thing, don't they? That should never be sort of shared with anybody else. But Jesus said, I am the way, not a way, the truth, not a truth. The life, not a life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So that's pretty clear. And Jesus died and rose again for all people, not just for the people that are sat in church. And if Jesus tells me to go and make disciples of all nations as a command, I better go and do it. Even if there's opposition and threat. Even if the law is fuzzy. Anyway, end of rant. Second, there is joy to be found in sharing the gospel despite opposition. Christianity is never meant to be comfortable. Pipe and slippers. It's supposed to be an adventure. It's supposed to be exciting, right? And it will be if you share Jesus. If you don't share Jesus, it's really dull, really boring. We're not supposed to be comfortable Christians, closeted away, afraid to speak. We're supposed to be sharing Jesus with all the opposition that comes. That's exciting. That's the place where joy comes. Did you know that? The first apostles had loads of trouble, but they were also the most joyful people that ever lived. Do you see that? If you want joy, get out there and start sharing Jesus. I love this. It blows my mind, this. After being flogged and ordered not to speak anymore about Jesus, listen to the apostles as they left the assembly of the religious rulers. Acts 5, 41 to 42. The apostles left the Sanhedrin. Now look at this. Rejoicing. They had a praise party because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. They get opposition, they have a praise party, and they carry on doing it. Love that. Why? Because God told them to. Look, the angel said, verse 19, during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. This is what he said. Go stand in the temple courts, tell the people about this new life. Didn't the angel know that there would be opposition and they'd be told not to? Yeah. Didn't he know they'd be breaking the laws of the Jewish authorities? Yeah. But he told them to go and do it, and they went and did it. And they rejoiced because they were worthy of the name of Jesus. As they're obedient to God rather than to men, they experience the joy of the Holy Spirit. You've got to read this book, honestly. Listen to Brother Yun. This is when he was imprisoned. The first time. This is him testimony. Quote, I didn't suffer for Jesus in prison. Hello? No, I was with Jesus and I experienced his very real presence, joy and peace every day. It's not those in prison for the sake of the gospel who suffer. The person who suffers is he who never experiences God's intimate presence because they stay quiet. End quote. Amen? Some of you are going, I want to say amen, but I'm a little bit afraid to. I know what you mean. I feel the same. Wow. Wow. The Spirit of glory rests on you when you take the risk and you speak out for Jesus. Will you get opposition? Yes. Will you be ridiculed? Possibly. Will you be caricatured and misrepresented and labeled? Probably. But the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. You will receive joy because you know you're doing the will of God. Peter says this in 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, another challenging text. Do not be surprised by the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Carry on. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, You are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other type of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Oh. Lord, give us boldness and courage to share you in the face of opposition, that we might experience your joy, that we might receive the Holy Spirit resting on us. In the end, even Gamaliel, a Pharisee, recognized there ain't much point in taking on God, right? Because if God decides he's going to build his church, there's not a lot. Pharisees, Sanhedrin, Sadducees, there's not a lot the British government can do, right? Not a lot the Chinese government can do. God will build his church. Gamaliel recognized this, which is kind of ironic because he was supposed to be opposed to Jesus, but Acts 5:38 says this. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Gamaliel spoke more than he knew, didn't he? Because it was from God, and they couldn't stop it. They put him in prison twice, and God only went and burst them out of jail. They couldn't shut them up. They couldn't stop them. Just like Brother Yun couldn't be stopped in China. Just like the church can't be stopped growing in China at a phenomenal rate. And just like the global Chinese church is growing at a phenomenal rate, because God will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You and I have a commission, a command. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them everything I've commanded you. And lo, I will be with you by the Holy Spirit to the ends of the earth and to the end of the age. That's God's promise to you and me. Wherever you are called to be a witness, in your family, some of you have got some really difficult people in your family who are opposed to your faith. Jesus knows. And Jesus says to you today, keep on witnessing for me, because the Spirit of glory and power will rest on you if you keep on being faithful in witnessing. Even in the face of insults, keep witnessing. The Spirit of glory will rest on you. You'll know joy, you'll know presence, like Brother Yun. Some of you have workplaces where it's really difficult to be a Christian because it's so, I don't want to say woke because it's overly used, but it's so politically correct, some of your workplaces, that you know, it's hard to breathe without being measured or, you know, examined or whatever. But keep on speaking when you have opportunity and keep on asking the Holy Spirit to open doors for you, however wokey your culture is at work. Some of you have neighbours that you're speaking to, and sometimes they insult you or they're just not at all sympathetic. Keep on speaking. The Lord is with you. Don't we want the Holy Spirit to rest upon us, to give us joy and a sense of God's presence? Don't we want to be on an adventure for Jesus, sharing him, getting into trouble for him? Because that's where the fun is. That's where the joy is. That's where the adventure is. That's where the excitement is. We're not meant to be sitting by the fireside with our slippers on. We're meant to be out there sharing Jesus. It's supposed to be an adventure, isn't it? Some of you don't look sure. Oh, that there would be praise parties because we're witnessing for Jesus and we're experiencing the Spirit of glory resting on us because we're sharing Jesus. Now, some of you are sitting there thinking, yeah, but Martin, he's a bit over the top, and he's a bit, you know. Look, I'm a nice person. Honest. I'm gentle and kind and compassionate. I don't go around ramming a large Bible down people's throats or whacking them over the head with it, all right? But what I do is ask God for opportunities to share when the opportunity arises. What I do do is every day ask God for opportunities to share Jesus, and with respect, with compassion, with kindness, with gentleness, right? So please don't think I'm some kind of raging Tasmanian devil out to sort of, you know, looking for trouble. No, I'm not. But if you're faithful as a witness, you will get into trouble. End of. All right, do you believe me?
Yes.
Let's stand. I want us to ask the Holy Spirit to come and rest on us. Because we all need courage, don't we? We all need boldness, don't we? We all need wisdom to know when to speak and when to be silent. We all need the patience and the faith to wait for opportunities in the workplace and amongst family, friends, neighbours, to ask for doors to be opened and to bear witness to Jesus. You know, when we start asking God to open doors, he does. You'll find that people will start to ask you about your faith. Could be as simple as, what did you do on the weekend? And where you've dodged that question, you say, I went to church and I met with Jesus. And that opens up a conversation. Yeah, even amongst your builder friends, you can have that conversation, all right? Even in your school, even in your politically correct civil service office, you can have those sort of conversations, all right? Amen? Amen. You know, because Joshua told you last week. He shared about witnessing in a difficult context amongst Muslims, right? God can do open doors wherever we are, right? If we're willing. Lord, we want to be faithful to you, Lord. We don't want to obey the culture or government, Lord. We want to obey you, Lord, because you've commanded us to go and make disciples and to be witnesses for you. Lord, we ask specifically this week that for all of us, including me, Lord, that you would open doors for us to share Jesus. Lord, I pray that people would ask us about our faith. Lord, when we say to people tomorrow, when people ask us what we did over the weekend, Lord, give us boldness to say we went to church and why we go to church, because we want to meet with Jesus. Lord, amongst our family, friends, work colleagues, neighbours, Lord, open doors of opportunity for us. May they ask us questions and may we give wise answers, seasoned with salt. May we be gracious and gentle and wise in our answers, but may we be bold and courageous in telling the story of all that Jesus has done and is doing in our lives. To this end, Holy Spirit, we ask that your power would rest on us now. I want us to take a moment. I want you to ask the Spirit to come and rest on you now, to fill you with power, courage, boldness, and wisdom to be his witness. Why don't you just do that in the quietness? Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Come rest on us. There's forgiveness from God. Some of you are feeling a little bit of guilt because you've not taken opportunities. You know that wonderful promise, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us all of our sin and unrighteousness. If you fail to take opportunities, if you feel you've been a bit cowardly, why don't you just say sorry and allow the Holy Spirit to let you know that you're forgiven? Just do that now. Holy Spirit, we repent of seeking comfort ahead of obedience to be your witnesses. Lord, we repent of not taking risks. We repent of disobeying your command, Jesus, to be witnesses and to go and make disciples. Lord, forgive, please, our apathy and indifference toward praying for the lost and witnessing to the lost. Have mercy on us, Lord. Fill us with boldness. Holy Spirit, fill us with courage. Give us opportunities tomorrow, even today, to share Jesus. For in his name we ask it. Amen. I was going to repeat the word that I gave at the start of the sermon. There are, if you're someone who is struggling with patterns of sin, habits, addiction, why don't you respond? You can come forward during the singing of this last hymn, song. You can come forward whenever you like as we're singing this song, and there'll be prayer team just to lay hands on you and seek for God to set you free, and that you might be freed by the Son from those chains, from that imprisonment that you're experiencing. God doesn't want you to be imprisoned by sin and habits and addiction. He wants to set you free so you can live life with joy and peace. You can know his freedom. So why don't you respond, and we'll pray for you as you come forward. So let's sing this last song. Thank you, Steve.
There's a battle raging over this land, a deep damage in the people. Yet pride stops us stretching out our withered hand. Yet God has stretched out to heal us. This I know, this I know, this I know, this I know, that just one touch from the King changes everything. Just one touch from the King changes everything, everything. There's a great darkness over this land, a deep darkness on the people. But a light is shining that the dark can understand. Light of the world, King Jesus. Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know that just one touch from the King changes everything? Just one touch from the King changes everything. Oh land, oh land, oh land, hear the word of the Lord. Oh land, oh land, oh land, hear the word of the Lord. Oh land, oh land, oh land, hear the word of the Lord. Oh land, oh land, oh land, hear the word of the Lord. Just one touch from the King changes everything. Just one touch from the King changes everything. Singing, just one touch from the King changes everything. Just One touch from the King changes everything, everything.
The team will stay in here at the end of the service, so please do come forward if you want a touch for healing, if you want to touch for any other condition you have, that the King is here to bring healing and release and deliverance. Did you have a word, Eric? Were you just ready to pray? No, please, come.
Sometimes we bring things down to us personally. But while we were singing there, and earlier on when Martin was praying, was speaking, the Lord brought to my mind, because all he was saying, the situation in a town in the west, in the east country, in the east of England. The Lord was doing an amazing thing here. There were some people coming in the town teaching error, teaching evil error, making it look as if it was absolutely fantastic. And people were flocking to the town hall. Maybe when they wouldn't come to something we arranged, they were coming to this thing. And the Lord said to me, get some of the guys and the girls together. I want you to go down to the town hall at this time in the evening when it's on. And I want you to take this group and walk round the town hall seven times. Now, you know the significance of seven, walking round seven times. And then I said, I believe that two of us should go into this meeting and pray, just at the side somewhere. Don't make yourself obvious necessarily. And two guys volunteered to do this. Ordinary guys, they weren't ministers. They were just ordinary Christians seeking to live for God. They went in, and we walked around seven times. And by the time we started, finished walking around seven times, the doors of this town hall opened, and people started pouring out. And the reason they started pouring out was that these people who were showing miracles at the front, that's the plan, and of course they were using evil forces to do this, they couldn't do it. They were standing on the platform, the big eye. You see, we can do this, we can do that, come forward, we'll speak to you, we'll lay hands on you. And nothing was happening. And in the end, these people said, we'll just have to close down. We can't, nothing's happening, I don't know why. And the people just left. And we spoke to them as people coming out, a few hundred people. And we asked what was going on, and they said, well, it's just a load of rubbish. Yeah, just a load of rubbish. We got in here by false information. We thought this was going to happen, that was going to happen, and the guy at the front there, he didn't even know what to say. And we said, oh, well, I think we have an answer to that. Amen?
Amen.
So it happens today, folks. Yes. You know, in our country, these things happen. When we step out, and we do God's will in God's way. And it could be marching around the town hall seven times. Some people said, well, we were doing this, it was evening. What are you doing? Because we were singing as we were marching around. We said, we're marching around seven times in the name of Jesus, singing his praises. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. As opposed to that meeting where nothing happened, we know that just one touch from the King changes everything. So why don't you respond at the end of the service, come forward and get a touch from the King as you're prayed for. So Father, Son and Holy Spirit, would you bless us now as we go from this place and into our week, open doors for us to share Jesus. May the Spirit of glory and of power rest on us, each one, as we bear witness for Jesus in his name. Amen.
Amen.
So come forward and respond, or go through for tea and coffee. Bless you. Thank you.